while you stand with me this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and then if you will, take your Bible or find that place in Hebrews 12 and then turn over to Ephesians 4 as well and hold that spot. But we're going to read out of Hebrews 12 to begin with. Amen. I'm so thankful for the church, for worship, for each of you. There was a frog in Canada, and one day as fall of the year began to approach, there were some Canadian geese flying overhead, and he hollered up at the geese. He said, "Hey, where are you going?" And one of the geese called down and said, "We're going south for the winter where it's sunny and warm." And he said, "Well, take me with you." And they said, "You don't have wings. You can't get there." And he said, "Yeah, but I got an idea." And they flew around, landed. They said, "What's your idea, Mr. Frog?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to take a branch." And he said, "One of you can put the branch in your mouth, and the other goose can put a branch, the other end of the branch, in his mouth, and I'll bite with my mouth in the middle of that branch and hang on, and we'll fly south for the winter." And they said, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's do it." And so they did just that. They got a branch. One goose held the branch on one end. The other held the other end of the branch in his mouth. And the frog bit right in the middle and held on. And they took off. Well, somewhere over in Indiana, a farmer walks outside and he sees that. And he can't believe his eyes. And he said, "What's going on?" So one of the geese in the formation hollered down and said, "We're flying south for the winter and we're taking this frog." And the farmer looked at that and he said, "That is the most ingenious idea I've ever seen in my life. Whose idea was that?" And the frog said, "Mine." Some of you will get that later on today. About a third of the way through your Big Mac, you'll catch that one and you might laugh. I don't know. That was pretty bad. That was the bottom of the barrel. So anyway, that's where we're at today. But listen, here's what I'm saying. I am so glad that church and worship was God's idea, that he knew what he was doing when he brought the church together and allow us to worship. And I want to tell you what we do here, it's beyond the history of Liberty Baptist Church, but it's Bible. It's very, very Bible. Now, there's a lot of things we don't do when it comes to worship. That we need to be doing. But one thing we know for sure is that the praises and the singing and the preaching and declaring of God's Word, that's God's ideal. And we're doing it because it's in God's Word. So I want us to look at a very serious text, Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. I want you to think about this thought, and then we'll elaborate in just a moment. I'm going to read the text and let you be seated. But I want you to think about the root of bitterness, the root of bitterness. Now, I heard a preacher preach on this, and it kind of got my heart stirring and just thinking about the people of God and the issues that we have, that we all have. And then I started studying that text, and God began to speak to me through that text. But the root of bitterness. So look in verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Watch this, here it is. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." You may be seated as God adds the blessings to the reading of His Word. Now, I want to say something about the root of bitterness, and I think it would behoove all of us to really listen today, because I think you're going to find out that there's more of us that are bitter than we actually realize. I didn't realize until I started studying bitterness, until I began to look in God's Word at what the Bible says about it. And I discovered in God's Word that many of the greats, or we should say heroes of the faith in God's Word, many people we've read about and heard in the Bible tells us that at some point, in one point in their life, they were bitter. And so I think there's more people bitter in the church today than we actually realize. Why? Well, because the Bible says in 1 Samuel that Hannah was bitter. she was barren and unable to, have a child, and that she was bitter about that. We see that Job was bitter. All of the things that happened to Job, and the Bible says that he was bitter about those things. Isaiah was bitter, the Bible says. Ezekiel himself was bitter. These are great, great preachers of God found in the Word of God. And they were bitter about various things. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And so when we think about the root of bitterness, now watch with me if you will. In order for there to be a root, there both had to be a soil and there had to be a seed. Are you with me so far? And so that soil, if you will, that's our hearts. And then the seed in that soil that produces that root of bitterness, the seed is a hurt that has been done to us in our past or in our yesterdays. Now, for some of you, it may have been last week that somebody said or did something to you or something happened in life. Life happened, and it's made you bitter on this Sunday morning. It was just last week. For some of you, it may have been weeks ago or months ago. For some of you, it was 15 years ago. And God help your soul, but for some of you, it was 30 years ago that something happened to you or life happened and it caused you to be a bitter person. Now, before you sit there and say, I'm not a bitter person, let's finish looking at the text and see exactly what the Bible says about the root of bitterness. Now, first off, you need to understand there's a couple of different kinds of hurts that can happen to us. So number one, there is an intentional hurt where somebody intentionally hurts us, where somebody, they do whatever it is they do, and whatever it is they may say, and they have intentionally and spitefully and willfully tried to hurt us. And that has lodged inside of your heart. It's become a seed inside the soil of your heart. So there's intentional hurt, but there's also unintentional hurt. You do realize that you and I are people, and we're very sinful people. We're very fleshly people. And so the reality is, though I may love you with all of my being, and I would give my life on that yellow line right there on 145 for you, there may come a time, because I'm just sinful flesh, where I may unintentionally hurt you. And it's unintentional hurt. So there's intentional hurt, there's unintentional hurt. But I want to say this too. There's also perceived hurt or imagined hurt. That's where the devil gets in the battlefield of our mind, or for the devil, it's the playground of our mind. The devil gets in the playground of our mind, and we make something of what somebody has said or somebody has done, when really there's nothing there at all. It's like the man I've told you about preaching before to come up to me that Sunday morning after church, and he just let me know. He said, "Preacher, I'm letting you know I'm sorry, because I know you," and his words were, "I know you've been mad and angry at me." And I said, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And God knows my heart. And if I was mad and angry at him, I would have told him right then and there, "Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because here's the deal. Here's what I'm mad about." But God knows my heart. I didn't have any ill will toward this man. I loved him like I love you. And he was convinced I was mad and angry at him. And so that was just a perceived hurt inside of his heart. He thought I was mad at him, so he was hurt and angry. And listen to me, and I told him, I said, "Listen, God knows my heart. I love you, and the devil has told you a lie, and I can tell you that, because what you're telling me is a lie from the devil, and there's no truth in it. Brother, I love you. I have nothing against you." And so, see, sometimes there's just perceived hurts or imagined hurts when somebody really doesn't do anything at all, but we let our mind go crazy, and we invent this stuff in our mind. And then we become bitter about it. Are you with me so far? Listen, I mean, if you like want one of those preachers that has that slicked up hairdo and he kind of just, blows fairy dust on you every Sunday morning, we can do that. Or if you want me to just, let's look at the Word of God, then I'm going to do that this morning. Will that be all right? All right then. So that's the hurts that we're talking about. And as we look at this text, now what God is telling us here is this root of bitterness. So we've been hurt, whether it's intentional, unintentional, or it's been imagined in our mind. So that hurt, what the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Here's what that word trouble means. Now watch. So we're bitter because somebody said or done something. And we're not happy about it, and we can't forget it, and we've not laid it down. So you've got to watch. There's this process of corruption that then begins to take place within our heart. And so that word trouble you, so the very first thing that's going to happen is when we are bitter about something that's happened to us, whether it be yesterday, last week, or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, the very first thing that's going to happen, that word trouble, it literally means to crowd out. Literally. And so what happens inside of our heart when we become bitter because of an intentional hurt, an unintentional hurt, or a perceived or imagined hurt, the very first thing that happens when we let that hurt lodge there and turn into a root of bitterness is it crowds some things out of our heart. It crowds out peace from within our heart. It crowds out the joy we have within our heart. It crowds out the contentment we have in the Lord from inside of our heart. See, it seems from this text that when there is bitterness in our heart, that it is such a large root that there's no room in our life for anything else but for bitterness to lodge there. Are you with me? Say amen. Okay, if I have to repeat everything and start back over at 10:15, I will. So are you with me? Say amen. All right, we're good to go then. Everybody's ready to go. Now watch what the Bible says here, though. There's a root of bitterness that springs up troubles you, crowds out everything good from your heart, and thereby many be defiled. Now watch this. This is how serious that this is. That word defiled, it literally means contaminated, poisoned, if you will. So you have a root of bitterness inside of you. And what's going to happen is you may think that, well, that's just private, it's personal, it's just inside of me, I'm keeping it inside. No, that's not even true at all. That is a lie that the devil has whispered to you and you have believed. Because the Bible says here what's going to happen when you've got this root of bitterness inside of you is that many are going to be defiled. You're going to poison a lot of people in your life. You're going to contaminate a lot of people in your life. Now, it may be your spouse, it may be your neighbors, it may be your mama, your daddy. Mamas and daddies, if you're lodging bitterness, God help your soul, but you will contaminate and defile and poison the children that you are raising or that are in your home. And listen, friend, I've seen that over and over and over before. Over and over. You see it in people like they've got this root of bitterness. And then they go home for lunch after church, or they go home to a restaurant after church. And you know what they do in front of their kids after church? Well, they have roast preacher, where they belch out everything they don't like about the pastor. Or they have roast deacon, where they belch out the things they don't like about the deacons. Or they'll have roast church, where they'll be critical and they'll be analytical and they'll be negative about the church. There's never anything positive. There's never anything loving. There's never anything forgiving. There's never any kind of kindness. Why? Well, because once bitterness roots there, it crowds out everything good within your heart to be crowded out. It's troubling you. It's crowding out the good things in your life. And so that mama or that daddy, they begin to poison or corrupt their children by their very speech. And we'll talk more about that speech here in just a little while. And so that root of bitterness, at least you can put Ephesians up on the screen, please, ma'am. And so that root of bitterness, it lodges and takes hold. Now listen to me, and I'm going to move quick so you don't get lost in anything but the truth God wants us to see. So we've been hurt in the past. It may have been intentional. Somebody did something to us. It may have been unintentional. Maybe they were just having a bad day. Maybe they love us with all of our heart. But maybe maybe I didn't really know all the stress going on inside of them and the war going on inside of them. And all of a sudden, they just turn it loose toward me for what, at the drop of a hat, so to speak. Or maybe it's just a perceived hurt and an imagined hurt. Because let's just be real. And if I can say this, I'm going to be very, very real right now. I'll be very blunt and straight. I believe there's some people who are walking around and they are just some, let me say it like this. They are some church members. They are some believers, some people that are truly saved. But they're walking around and they are just waiting on somebody to hurt them every day. You know people like that? Yeah, raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. I'm joking. Don't do that. But you know what I'm talking about. I think these people, and they're just waiting on somebody to say something that they can get fuzzed about. They're just waiting on somebody to do something where they can say, that person hurt me. And that's true. And listen, and you hear people talk about getting their feelings hurt and so forth like that, but I'm going to share something with you from the pulpit. If you have to walk around saying, somebody hurt my feelings, I won't tell you what that means. That means you're wearing your feelings out on your sleeve and you're waiting on somebody to hurt your feelings. And you know why that is? That's because you got a root of bitterness inside of you about something totally unrelated probably. It's bitterness that's grew inside of you. Sometime from your childhood, I don't know, sometime from your yesterday, sometime from your last week. I don't know how far you want to go back with this thing, but only you know when somebody has hurt you. And what it has done is it has turned you into a cynical person, a critical person. You're a person who is waiting for somebody to say or to do something, because here's the deal. Because somebody hurts you so bad and it caused a root of bitterness to grow into you, you believe that everybody's out to get you now and that everybody's going to say something or do something that's going to, really, it's just going to grow that root even bigger in you. But now, because you were hurt one time and it's made you bitter inside of your heart of hearts, then you're expecting everybody else to do the same thing, to say something or do something. So I'm just waiting on you to hurt me because that's what people have done in the past. And so that's what I'm waiting on in the future. Are you with me? Okay. And so let's look on what the Bible says here, though. And so the Bible says, let all bitterness. So you need to underline that word all, because literally in the Greek, like this is going to be so far above you because you're not a theologian and a student of the Bible. But literally in the Greek, that word all, write it down. Here's what it means. All. Let all bitterness and wrath. Now watch. So there's this progression. Okay. Now watch what happens. Some of you need to listen right here, because today is that day. Today is that Sunday when you have the opportunity to be set free from this thing that's inside of you that is crowding out all of the goodness of God in your heart. It's crowding out peace. It's crowding out joy. It's crowding out contentment. And so watch this. Watch this. Let all bitterness. And there's a flow that goes with this text. And wrath. So what that word wrath means, it literally refers to hot coals that are embers, if you will, and they're just glowing. At the house in North Carolina, I have got a Fisher Mama Bear wood stove. That's what we heat our house with up there. And the Fisher's great. So for those of you who don't know wood stoves, this is just it's a matter of boasting, and I'm boasting in Fisher stoves. But for a mama bear, that's their medium-sized stove. I can fill that thing full at nighttime with some good locusts. We have yellow locusts up there. You don't have it down here. You have to get on up toward Clayton, higher altitudes to get into that. But it's a very, very hot burning and high BTU type wood. But I can fill that thing down with locusts or some oak, and I can shut those dampers about 10 o'clock at night. And literally, for 2 days, it will hold coals. But the next morning, I get up. It's mostly burnt down. There's still some wood in there, and all I got to do is open up the dampers, and that right there, it will have that the wood that's left in there that's just kind of burnt into smoldering coals. It'll just light into a flame. And so you can take those coals, even 2 days later, if you leave that shut up and shut down, and all you got to do is blow on it a little bit. Just blow on it a little bit, and it'll burst into a flame again. And so I used to pride myself that once I built the fire in October, November, or once I built the fire and lit that fire in October, November, I never had to light it again until January, February, because it's kept a fire of coals in there all the time. And so that word wrath, what it means is this. It refers to burnt, to smoldering embers. Now, all it takes for smoldering embers to burst into flame is just blow on it just a little bit. And my grandpa used to have one of those big bellows. He had when he had a buck stove, and he'd take that thing, and boy, he'd pump it, and it'd just rage into a fire. And so that root of bitterness inside of us, so it's there. It's crowded out. Peace, joy, happiness, all those things, all those good things from God. And what has happened is inside of us now there are these coals that are just glowing, and they're just waiting to be blown on so those coals can just burst into a flame. Bitterness, wrath, and the very next thing is anger. And so now that those coals have been blown on by an event or by somebody says something or somebody else does something. Now, boy, you're ready to go. I mean, it's like those coals inside of you because of that bitterness. It's like your foot's on go and you're just waiting on the light to turn green, and it doesn't matter who says it, does it, or whatever. You are just ready to give them your peace of mind. And so that anger begins to build, and then you begin to plan. And then that word clamor, what that word clamor means is then you begin formulating words, because that's what's always going to happen. And God help, can I just say a word about Facebook, Instagram, social media, and all that stuff? If you are interested in pursuing the Lord, get rid of your Facebook account, your Instagram, and all that stuff. Call me old school if you want to, okay? But there is so much trouble on that garbage. And then there's those, you guys, you young guys got words for all this, but then you got those dudes who are about 5 foot tall and weigh a buck 10 and look like they need to be wormed, but they act like they're WWF heroes on that Facebook page, blabbing their mouth and running their mouth, okay? Somebody pray. I get directed back on the message about right now. I'm running the trail, and I'm liking this trail. Anyway, call me old school, call me an old dude, whatever, joy killer, I'm good with it all. I promise I'm not going to get mad and be bitter about whatever you call me. So we start getting, then we start formulating the words, and the words are going to come out. And you know, used to be a day if you're going to say something, somebody had to say it to their face, but now you do it through Facebook, Instagram, whatever the social media platform, text messages, whatever, because, you know, nobody has no reservations when you're behind a computer and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so you're formulating words that you're going to say, and it's going to come out. And then the evil speaking. And you know what that literally means? Not only does it refer to the anger that's expressed in words and in actions, and it really the picture we're getting here, it's like a little kid pitching a tantrum. But what I want you to know is that, as believers, I want to tell you something. You're not a little kid on the cereal aisle wanting your favorite kind of cereal, and God's a killjoy telling you, no, you can't do that. God's not going to do that. He's not going to tell you no. He's going to let you do what you want to do. And so if you willfully, you build this thing up inside of you, and this ember grows, and then you begin formulating a response to what the next person says or does to you. And then you start the evil speaking. And literally that word, it means this. It means disrespect and blasphemy. That's literally what that word evil speaking means. And so that's why when you've got this root of bitterness in you, you may act all cool Joe all day long, but you got these coals burning inside of you from 30 years ago or 40 years ago or 4 days ago. Those coals take is something just to happen. And when something happens, then you start formulating what you're going to say, and then it rises up in you to be evil and to wicked, and to be wicked by your speech. And so then with evil speaking, you are going to disrespect that person as much as you can disrespect them, as you have a blow up and it all comes out. Are you with me? Listen, you know what I'm talking about. Man, my very first pastorate, like I hadn't been pastoring long. It was a Baptist church, and actually, I'd been there about 3 days. In the very first business meeting, a man gets mad and gets up and starts walking the aisles, pointing his finger at everybody. But one Sunday morning, I asked all the youth workers to stay after church. I said, I want to have a youth meeting. And so they all stayed after church. And I was going to direct them in the way I wanted youth ministry to go, the way I felt led that it should go. And one of the ways I didn't feel like it should go was the way I knew it was going, which on Wednesday nights was popcorn and games. No word of God. Like God's not in that. And so I wanted to just kind of redirect us and kind of set the path. And I'm not always as mean as I'm being this morning. I was very loving. And I tried to direct that youth program, like, here's what I think Wednesday nights need to look like. We need to get the Word of God in these kids. And there was a youth worker stood up, and she went from 0 to 60 in about a millisecond. And boom, she exploded. And she exploded so bad that before I got home, those 19 miles home, I had some folks calling me, telling me, we don't know where that come from. We are so sorry you had to see that and experience that. But you know why? What did I do? Did I get mad? Did I get angry? Am I still losing sleep over it tonight? Last night? Do I still have colds just brewing in me, glowing, smoking, smoldering, and waiting on you to say something so I can blow up because of, no, I just let that go. That's between her and the Lord. But you know what it was? She had a root of bitterness in her. And she was just waiting, because she still had cold. She'd never dealt with that hurt, never brought that hurt to the Lord, never give it to the Lord. And because of that, it had crowded out peace and joy and happiness and kindness in her heart. And there was coals brewing, and she was just waiting on the wind to blow, and then she was ready to turn it loose. But that evil speaking there in that text, that is where we launch. That's where we say things we should not say. And that's where our target is, to run that person down, to disrespect them in the greatest way we could possibly disrespect them and irreverence them. And so the Bible says, put all that away from you. Put all that away from you with all malice. And that word to put away from, what it means is it means to take the load and to throw it down and get rid of it. That's what it means. Sometimes I do practical weight training, which means, you know, stuff I'll use in the real world, not just going to the gym to look good and all that stuff. But in my garage, I'll pick up some heavy weights, like 45-pound plates in each hand. And I'll just carry them as far as I could carry them until I cannot carry those plates anymore. And then when I get to the end of that path or that road or whatever, then it's all I can do. I just throw those weights down. And so that's exactly what the Bible's talking about here, is that you got to throw down this weight, this root of bitterness. I visited a man the other day. His temper and his anger was of such to where there were some people concerned about his wife. And so I went to the home, and of course, as soon as I got out of the driveway, there's a bunch of spent casings laying there in the driveway, and I'm like, okay, mental note, he's got a handgun, he likes to shoot. And sit down and talk with him. And the man said, listen, I'm fine today. He's like, I'm fine. I had the sweetest voice. He's like, I'm good, I'm cool. Like, everything's good. I'm okay. I'm where I need to be. I'm doing what I need to be doing now and all of that. And I was like, what about yesterday? Well, yesterday, see, I have this anger that's really uncontrollable, and it just takes little things to set it off. And he's like, I can just get mad and angry at the drop of a dime. And he said, not even the drop of a dime. He said, I can get mad and angry as soon as you let go of that dime. He said, I expose and I can't control myself. And I'm sitting there thinking, where have you been in life that has allowed a root of bitterness to grow into you, that has left you a hot, smoldering mess, to where you're just waiting for somebody to say or do the wrong thing, and then you are ready to get on it? I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to remember this. When he was arrested and beaten, tortured and nailed to a tree and lifted up and publicly mocked, stripped naked, humiliated. When he was going through all of that, I want to remind you that he was fully God. And at any moment, he could have called on legions of angels to come down, and he could have just blinked his eyes, uttered the words, thought it in his heart and mind, and he could have killed every Roman soldier in the Roman army from Calvary to the furthest reaches of their borders. But the Bible says while they were doing all that to him, he said not a word. He spoke not a word. And so the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. So it's not a sin to be angry. God give us emotions, right? Did God give us emotions? Amen. So God give us, it's not a sin to be angry. Be ye angry and sin not, but it's what you do with that anger. When it rises up inside of you, before it comes out, before you start formulating words, and before you begin then speaking degrading, blasphemy, disrespecting speech, and you attack somebody. And so, inside there's this root of bitterness because of a hurt. Somebody intentionally hurt you. Listen, I need to inform you of something that you need to be aware of. That in this world, there are some mean people. Do you know that? Abigail, you can come. There are some people, they don't care about you. They don't care about your feelings. They don't care about how bad they hurt you. They don't care if they wound you for the rest of your life. They don't care, period. There are some mean people. And so somewhere along the way, somebody has hurt you intentionally. I know some people I know a lot of people, you really want to know the truth about it, whose lives have been a wreck. Their lives have been a train wreck. And it's all because of what somebody did to them in their past that was not right. And see, I'm not addressing today the wrongdoer. God help you if you're that wrongdoer who is so evil and wicked that you have to hurt people. God help you if you're that. But I'm not talking to the wrongdoer. I'm talking to the ones that's been hurt. You've had something said or done, intentional or unintentional, or maybe you just imagine it. A hurt is a hurt is a hurt is a hurt. And now because of that inside of you, you have this root of bitterness. And the thing is, some of you have not even traced back and realized until the book of Ephesians right here, where the Bible talks about how the glowing inside of you is this ember. And all it takes, it just takes something to blow on it, to stir it up a little bit. And once it's stirred up, then you're starting to formulate into actions what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, and then you speak it out. And you just think you got a short fuse. You just think you're a hothead. You just think you got a temper. But it's more than that. It's a root of bitterness. There's a progression right here. It comes from the root of bitterness. And inside of you, there can't be peace. There can't be joy. There can't be love. There can't be kindness. There can't be patience. Listen, I got news for you. Unless you're going to go move to some island somewhere and live by yourself for the rest of your life and live alone, you're going to need patience in your life to love people. It's hard to love people. People are hard to love sometimes. I'm hard to love sometimes. And you better have a whole lot of patience if you're going to be friends with me. Because I'm not always going to say the right thing. I'm not always going to do the right thing. And I may have every intention of saying something right, but maybe I didn't say it in just the right way. I'm not perfect. The person beside you today is not perfect. You better have some patience to be able to live life among people. And I'm going to tell you something. You better have patience to be part of a church, to be part of the church of Jesus Christ, because people's not perfect. We're saved, but we're not made perfect yet. We belong to God and we got good intent, but we're not perfect yet. Because if you don't have patience among fellow believers, then you're going to poison and infect a lot of people around you, based on Hebrews chapter 12. So you better have some patience. But the problem is, listen, you can't have love. You can't have patience. You can't have kindness. You can't have mercy. And you know what mercy is? Remember, judgment is giving people what they deserve. We're talking about God's, we're talking about judgment. It's about people giving people what they deserve. Mercy is about not giving people what they deserve. Holding it back. So when God is merciful to us, He is not giving us what we rightfully deserve. And in grace is what God gives us what we don't deserve at all. And so God holds back His judgment, what we deserve, gives us mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve, and then gives us grace, bestows upon us that which we do not deserve. We are to have the same in people's life. Maybe they deserve judgment. They did so wrong to you, and they're evil and they're wicked. Maybe they deserve judgment, but we're to give them mercy. We're to not give them what they deserve, because that's what God's done to you. And brother, I just want you to know, if God give us what we deserve this morning, every one of us would be in hell today. Every one of us. If God give us what we deserve. And then what God does is He gives us grace, that which we don't deserve. So that's what we're to do to other people. We're to give them grace. They may deserve judgment because they've been so evil and mean to us. But we're going to be merciful, not give them what they deserve. In fact, we're going to take another, we're going to be gracious. We're going to give them that which they don't deserve at all. That's our kindness, our patience, our love, our mercy. So there's this root of bitterness. And then the Bible goes on. I'm not even preaching on this. I'm ending right now. But verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Hey, be ye tenderhearted. I want you to understand, there's nothing wrong with being tenderhearted. That doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're easily able to be a victim. It doesn't mean you're a sissy or a sucker or a girly man. It would be nice in the Church of Jesus today if we saw a bunch of folks, men and women alike, who were tenderhearted and taught our children how to be tenderhearted as well. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Watch. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let me ask you this. How much has God forgiven you? And I'm not talking about the you we see on Sunday morning coming through the door shaking everybody's hand. I'm talking about the real you that nobody knows about. Not mama, daddy, husband, wife, children, nobody but you. You know you. How much has God forgiven you in your lifetime? How much? Because that's how we're to forgive one another. And the reason is so this root of bitterness don't lodge in us and crowd out peace and joy and happiness and blessings. Are you with me so far? Say amen. So the Bible's very clear here. We are to put this away from ourselves. Now, I would like to tell you that I'm going to give this invitation and you can come. And you can cast that root of bitterness down because of a hurt that's been done to you years ago, days ago, maybe hours ago, weeks ago, months ago. I would like to be able to say, if you'll come and you'll do that, then you're going to get up out of that altar, and for the rest of the days, you're going to be free, and you ain't ever going to have to struggle with it again. It'll all be gone. It'll all be better. Can God do that? Yes, I believe God can. But here's what I also know, is I believe that this is a once and for all act where you're going to have to come and you're going to have to do this, but watch this. Then every day for the rest of your life, you may very well have to put it into practice. Every day. Every day you may have to get up, and when the devil says, you laid that root down yesterday, but pick it up again this morning, because I want you to be bitter. I want you to crowd out peace, love, joy, kindness, confidence in the Lord. The devil's going to say, pick it up again. Pick it up again. Pick it up again. So you come and you do it once and for all, but then every day you're going to put it into practice. And what you're going to do every day is say, I'm not picking that up again. I don't have room in my heart or in my life, and nor do I have time to walk around and being a bitter person. And listen, you may not call it bitter. You may think you're just mad or have a short temper, but the Bible says, trace that thing on back, and it's bitterness. And it's lodged there. And it's hurting people. Do you hear me? It's hurting people around you. It's poisoning people around you. It's corrupting people around you. So you're going to lay it down and get rid of it. But I'm here to tell you that every day you got to put it into practice, and you got to say, Lord, it's yours. I'm not touching it, and I'm not picking it up. I give it to you, so I'm steering clear of it. Now, what I know is this. I know that God has spoke to you, some of you very, very clearly. And in fact, if so many of the great people we hear of in the Bible, Hannah, Job, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and it goes on, if so many of the great people in the Bible had bitterness in their life, then I believe today that there's more of us have bitterness in our life than we realize. And so if God has spoken to you from this message, the only thing I know to do as an invitation is to tell you this. Is that you got to get it away from you. You got to take that heavy load that you're carrying around, that you can't carry past today's text and today's word from God, and you throw it down and get that deadly thing out of your hands so God can start to work in your life and move in your life and bring you the good things He's got in heaven from you. The thing that's holding back heaven's blessings and favor is that your heart is crowded out with this root. Well, the Word of God is a root killer and a weed killer. And if we respond in obedience, we throw it down to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't handle it anymore. It's going to destroy me before life's over with. And you come throw it down and watch God begin to work grace in your life and fill your heart again with peace, love, kindness, joy, patience, love for one another, and tenderheartedness toward other people. You won't be so judgmental when you cast down that root of bitterness. So right now, and I ask you to stand, somebody needs to run and bring the load you're bearing and throw it down in this altar and leave it here, and every day hereafter put it into practice by saying, I'm not carrying it, I'm not picking it up. Abigail, you girls ready to sing? You go ahead and hit it and sing. And I want you to stand. And don't you wait on somebody else today. You come and make your way to this altar.